When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You don't have that like bookmarked at the top of your top of your Chrome?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Stop me if you heard this one before.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Garoppolo not there. Foot surgery.
Let me tell you what it's all about. Do you know who the Raiders' new part owner is?
Tom Brady.
Hey!
Today's guests, 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey, Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, from the new film Fast X, actor Alan Ritchson, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey everybody, welcome to this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show before Memorial Day weekend here in Los Angeles, California, and around the United States, and let's just say around the world, because people check us out on all of our videos through social media and whatnot, and of course, the Roku channel. It is free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TV. We are free on Amazon Fire TV. We are free on the Roku app because the Roku channel's on it. And then there's something called the Internet Tubes, the RokuChannel.com. We are free. Hello to our terrestrial radio audience, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. And our podcast listeners, we appreciate you listening whenever you darn well please. It's your right to give your eardrums whatever they want, whenever they want it. It's odd that I'm referring to eardrums as actual living beings, but that's the way we're kicking off this Friday show. How are you, Chris Brockman? Good to see you over there.
I'm great.
Good to see you over there, Jay Felly. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, Rich?
TJ Jefferson, candles lit. How are you today, sir?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning to you as well. I say this all the time. One of the many things I love about this show is we get to bring people together through sports. And that's something that I think many of us have talked about with friends or with relatives, or certainly Thanksgiving, where you can't stand maybe a relative right across the way from you, but you root for the same team, so you come together. When you're in a stadium, you're an arena or a bar, and you're rooting for the same team, but then you might find out later you have completely different political views, different views of the world. But sports brings people together, a collective. And interesting, however, though, sometimes sports is filled with spite, filled with that sort of spiteful thing. For instance, I adore this man, and I greatly appreciate him in many different ways, known him for quite some time. But I reluctantly start this program with a happy Chris Brockman. And his Celtics smelling 2004 all over again.
Man,
my son, wife
baby.
And youngest son. They adore the Boston Celtics.
Oh, baby.
Adore the Boston Celtics. what's the words for it? Do not. Having Larry Bird rip out my heart and show it to me pumping and Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale.
Yeah.
Kevin McHale looking straight out of the Munsters, but just ripping my heart out and showing it to me pumping while ML Carr's on the bench waving the towels.
Yeah.
I don't know why I hate Jerry Schiesting to this day.
I don't know who that is.
Guess what? He was some guy who played like 5 minutes for those championship Celtics. Hated them all.
You love Bill Walton.
One thing I hate more are Red Sox fans. I don't like them.
The feeling's mutual.
I don't like them. I don't like them at all. And the fact that they have forevermore, what, in all honesty, Carolina fans have over Duke fans forevermore.
Kind of.
Forevermore. Forevermore. Duke fans. They gave an L to Coach K in his final home game in Cameron Indoor. And then, a couple weeks later, ended his career in the Final Four. Personally, dispatched him out of Cameron with an L and then into NBA consultancy with an L. 2004. I don't want to talk about it. I hate it. It's the worst thing ever. Yankees up 3-0 in the ALCS, and the Red Sox come back and win it. 4-3. My misery. You're a pure delight, Chris. Right? Correct? Yeah?
The greatest of all time. I remember exactly what I was doing all of those games.
And so here we are in 2023. I'm just going about my business watching the NBA playoffs. That's all I'm doing. And you know what? Heat being up 3-0, I'm not sitting here and being spiteful saying, I want you guys to lose. I honestly did not care if you advanced to the NBA Finals or not. Honestly. No skin off my nose.
Yeah.
And I normally do like a series to go 6-7 games. So this thing going 6-7 games, I didn't care. But now I see the 2004 shades again. Oh, the Red Sox did it to the Yankees. So now the Celtics can do it to the Heat. And here we are sitting here on the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. And the Celtics have taken 3 shots from the Heat and they're still alive. And here we are on this Friday. And without question, the Celtics feel like they're up 3-2 going down to Miami to wrap up this series. Without a doubt, it feels that way to me and any other human being that can fog up a mirror. It sure looks like the Heat are finished. Gabe Vincent in street clothes. And the Celtics making threes. The rim that was as oval as any rim in any one of those pop-up carnivals that you see that takes your money because you can't make your shots because there's no way the ball actually fits in that rim. You ain't winning that prize for your sweetheart. Now that thing's as wide as, those tunnels from the Big Dig days. Back when the Red Sox sucked. And everything was fine. Okay? Back when Tip O'Neill was strolling into Cheers.
Tip O'Neill.
Okay? The Red Sox were cursed. All right? I don't like it.
I was like, 04.
Isn't that funny how sports normally brings people together, TJ? But today, I don't feel that way.
No?
I don't.
You feel a divide?
Hey, Rich, I just want to give you a heads up.
Yes, sir.
I tried to tell you.
Yeah.
I tried to tell you. Also, maybe Miami shouldn't let A-Rod and Jeter at the game.
Oh, jeez.
On this Saturday night.
Guy.
I'm just saying.
This guy.
Don't let him in the game.
This guy.
Okay?
That guy. That guy over there.
Just saying. Maybe keep them out.
Why don't you just leave the Yankees out of this?
Why?
This is what I'm talking about.
Hey, you have
about.
To wear that your whole life. Oh, 27 championships. Who cares? You blew a 3-0 lead.
Old Mo is wearing a leprechaun hat. Old Mo is 1,000% wearing a Celtics uniform right now. I don't know what the hell happened. The Celtics woke up before game 4 saying, don't let us win one, which is what Kevin Millar said back in the day, which uncorked that 2004 genie from the bottle that was dead and buried. I wasn't thinking about it at all. I was just walking around my life. Hey, how you doing, TJ? Hey, how you doing, Jay Felly? Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, it's time for the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go talk some sports.
Hey, were you Phil Mickelson?
Hey, let's talk sports and entertainment. And then all of a sudden, 2004 comes out of nowhere in a basketball series that I have no desire to talk about it. So here we go, Eric Spoelstra. You got a plus one now. Interestingly enough, twice before this has happened, I gotta say this. I'm sorry, Chris. It's just the way I'm feeling right
now. No, it's okay. I understand.
It's okay. It's happened twice before. I took a shot of it on the SportsCenter TV screen last night. They had this stat. Did you see this one last night?
I did not.
Is it the 3-0 team?
On the Van Pelt. No, no, hold on a second. On the Van Pelt SportsCenter. Here it is. I took a screenshot of it. Twice. Teams trailing 3-0 in an NBA playoff series. One games 4 and 5 by 10 or more points.
Oh.
The 2007 Bulls did it on Detroit. And the 1999 Sonics did it against the Bulls. How about that? And that, I think, that was a game NBA Finals. That'd be, right? Sonics versus the Bulls?
Wait, 99?
96.
Oh, 96 this was, like, was the NBA Finals.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Twice before. Teams, let me repeat it, down 3-0.
Okay.
In an NBA series, won games 4 and 5 to make it 3-2.
Okay.
By winning those games by double digits, 10 or more points, just like the Celtics just did. The 2007 Bulls and the 1996 Sonics did not force a game 7.
I would say they got smoked in game 6, right?
Game 6 did not go their way. So, hanging my hat on that. Take the 2004 Red Sox and put it back in the genie and bury it forever. Where I don't have to hear about it anymore. But I'll tell you what, Eric Spoelstra, he was going out. I knew it as soon as that game was over. Here come the press conferences from the Heat saying, we're the ones up 3-2. We're going home. We've got this thing. Yeah. Celtics have shot the lights out. They haven't turned it over as much. I get it. Everybody's making threes.
You can say it all you want, but do you actually believe it?
It's time. Jimmy Butler. I need the guy who was mockingly calling timeout. I need that guy to show up in game 6. Here was Jimmy Butler after the game 5 loss on Thursday night.
We just got to play better. Start the games off better on the starters. Make it more difficult for them. They're in a rhythm since the beginning of the game. But we're always going to stay positive, knowing that we can and we will win this series. And we'll just have to close out at home.
Oh, boy. I need the Jimmy Butler who's saying I'm not the guy. I'm probably not the guy who should be talked to. Wow. Because this sure feels like it's 2004 all over again.
I can feel it.
It feels like 2004 all over again in the NBA. And I will just warn, because the Miami Heat, these Heat, are the plucky Heat that barely made the playoffs. They're an 8th seed that is playing with piles of house money. Piles of house money. And if any of them can sit there and think for even a split second, it's a hell of a run. I would just warn you, I'm sitting here in 2023 when those Yankees in 04 had multiple trophies in the case, a dynastic team in 04 getting swept like that, and I'm hearing it unexpectedly 19 years later. I don't care how great a coach, and he is, Eric Spoelstra is, he does not want this on his resume. None of them do. None of them do. When I say it, let me just one more time. None of you do. Your best win game 6. Talk about a must-win game by a team up 3-2. This is one of them. They're rare, but we have one. So wipe that smug look off your face.
I will be so obnoxious Tuesday if we come back and win this. Like, I'm just giving you guys forewarning right now.
All right, there we go. Very good. We have been so warned. Please, Miami, let's go. Here we go. Honestly.
I'm going to channel TJ circa 96.
Honestly.
Oh, I was on top of the world. Life was good.
So, there you have it. Off and running. Oh, we've got some great guests. We've got John Harbaugh of the Ravens, middle of the show.
Oh, heard of him.
lots to talk about with him. That new kickoff fair catch rule, I'm sure he's not very happy with it. Obviously, Lamar's in the fold. What will that offense look like?
I think it's going to be good.
So that is, as you know, when I gave my top five mysteries post-draft going into the NFL season, what the Ravens offense looks like is number two on that list. Number one was how will the Jets look like with Rodgers. And so Harbaugh joins us middle of the show. Hour number three, admittedly one of the toughest two shots of my career is coming up.
Rich,
Alan
honestly,
Richson, who is Jack Reacher on Prime Video and also in the new Fast X film that's currently in theaters nationwide. He's coming in here, and I might have more body fat in my left pinky than this gent.
It's going to be.
Okay.
We'll show some pictures before.
All right.
We'll see what you're getting yourself into.
It's all good. But our first guest is Christian McCaffrey, and there's lots to talk about with him, obviously.
He's a little jacked, too.
The 49ers. There's so much always going on with the 49ers. But Bert Kreischer was on this program last Friday. The star of The Machine in theaters near you nationwide today. Premiere last night here in Los Angeles. He told this story about meeting Christian McCaffrey after one of his performances, not McCaffrey's, Burt's. Here's the story.
We showed the picture of the after party?
Yeah, from these guys down in the Super Bowl.
I totally forgot about it. I got real drunk and cornered Christian McCaffrey, and I was drunk, and I go, hey, do you think I could catch you? And he goes, what? I said, in this room, $10,000 if I can catch you. And he was like, what are you talking about?
To Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah. I said, just in this room. It's like 20 by 30 by 30. I said, give me 20 minutes. Do you think I'd ever catch you and hold you down?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, man, there are dudes that are 10 times more athletic than you train all year and can't catch me. He goes, I don't think you can catch me. I go, you want to try? He's like, what kind of party is this turning into?
That has currently been seen over 1.5 million times on Instagram Reels alone. Kids dig it on the TikTok apparently as well. So rare to be able 1 week later. That was last Friday. This Friday, we're about to get Christian McCaffrey's point of view of that story.
Fantastic.
That's next. Don't you dare move. 844-204-RICH, also the number to dial right here on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. Christian McCaffrey when we return. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back on the air, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. One of the best in the National Football League, joining us from the San Francisco backfield, courtesy of the Logan Project, which I cannot wait to learn more about. Christian McCaffrey back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Christian?
Rich, what's going on, man? I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I was just opining, as I like to say, with my my Roku audience, and I'll bring it here to the radio audience, about you running the drills at the Combine, the passing drills. You were the best receiver that day, as well as the running back as well. What do you recall from the Combine back in the day, Christian?
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
It's the truth.
You know, the Combine is such a whirlwind of a week. You know, you're being tested every single step you take. You know, it's about 4 days of meetings where you're being quizzed, you're being asked questions about defenses and blocking schemes and this and that for, you know, all the 32 NFL teams. Then you have psych tests, and those take, you know, a couple hours. They're kind of always walking you somewhere, so you're on your feet all week. You don't sleep a lot. And then, you know, you walk into the stadium where there's, you know, about 100 people in the stands, plus, you know, then you get the coaches section. And then you got to go perform. So I just remember it being a very long week, and then by the end of the week, I was like, man, I'm happy that's done. I think I was mad at my time, but I think I did, you know, well and all the other stuff. But I just remember it being a really long week, and I don't know if they do that now. I don't know if it's as grueling as it used to be, but
it still is.
Do it.
Yeah, they still do it. No, there's no. I mean, the days are long. The week is long. Were you ever questioned about your toughness, your ability to run between tackles by any teams when they were talking to you about being a bell cow? Was that brought up to you in any of these conversations during your evaluation period, Christian?
You know, I think it actually wasn't, and I think it's because of the offense that I, you know, was in at Stanford.
Right.
I think in those 2 years I ran between the tackles more than any back. And so that was part of the reason why I went to Stanford, and I was so grateful for Coach Shaw and really that whole team. You know, I got lucky and played on such a good team, and there were so many good players on that team. We had a great O-line. We had great receivers who took pride in blocking. So it was a super fun experience for me. And, yeah, like I said, I ran a lot in between the tackles. So, you know, if they were to question it, it was probably something to get under my skin and see how I would respond to it. But there was so much tape of me running power and inside zone and trap and all these different runs. So there was a little bit less questioning than I would have thought.
What's your first football memory, Christian? What's your first one?
First football memory, I fell in love with the game. I was 7 years old. I'll never forget it. We were playing in the Super Bowl at Regis Jesuit High School on the lower field, but to us it was everything. It was a blizzard. We were playing against Cherry Creek, and they had smacked us earlier that year, and went into double overtime, and they threw like a double pass, and I batted it down. We win the game, and I just remember the parents storming the field. You know, it felt like there was confetti coming down, so it was a blizzard and all these different things. Our coach got kicked out of the game. It was one of those ones, and I remember physically crying and thinking how awesome this moment was, 7 years old. That Little League team, I got to give my guys some props. We went on, never lost a game after that, all the way up until eighth grade. We stuck together, and a lot of those guys are still my best friends today. So,
no kidding.
I had a great introduction to football. Oh, yeah, Parker Hawks, man.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
What about like locker room, professional locker rooms and things of that nature? You know, Christian, any memories of that at all? Or it just the timing didn't match up because you were still just a baby when your dad was still playing at all?
You know, I don't remember the football much. I think since, you know, as we got older, all my brothers and myself, we loved watching my dad's and look up all these different, you know, that was always really cool. But I think as a kid, I remember playing Power Rangers in the locker room with Shannon Sharp and with Rod Smith and Terrell Davis and all these different guys. And me and my brother, when we would go into the locker room, we would see who could stick their head in the ice tub the longest. We would, you know, get the protein bars from the training staff, and you used to think those were the best things ever. So little things like that I remember, man, that bring back some great memories. And I was very fortunate to grow up in a locker room where you know, they were winning and be around some professionals and kind of see what it was like from a young age.
So did you ever stick your head in the ice tub and then take your head out and see Mike Shanahan staring at you going, what the hell's going on, kid? Did that ever happen? No?
I'm sure there were multiple people wondering what was going on, but no, I never saw him.
Christian McCaffrey here on the Rich Eisen Show. Does it blow your mind that you're playing in the Bay Area professionally for Shanahan? I mean, it was meant to be, Christian. It's kind of crazy if you think about it, right?
Yeah, you know, it is. It's very cool. You know, it all comes full circle. I think for me, you know, I try to keep it as business professional as possible, and I know he does too, and I know the whole staff does. But it's not just, you know, Kyle. I mean, Brian Griese threw passes to my dad, Anthony Lynn. Had Bobby Turner was Terrell Davis's running back coach, and all these Howard Griffith and all these guys, and they won Super Bowl. So he was the running back coach when my dad was on the team. You know, you got the Kubiak connection, multiple Kubiaks on the team. There's so many people who, you know, have gone down that lineage of you know, what you would call the Shanahan tree that makes it really special. So, you know, for me, it's been cool just to learn from all these guys, you know. And like I said, everybody keeps it professional and keep it loose, but it is special, man. It's funny how it all comes full circle, and being in those meetings is you know, it's impressive, and it's very fun to be able to learn from all these different perspectives. That there's so much knowledge that's been passed down generation to generation. So. I'm very fortunate and lucky to be here.
You know, in sports, Christian, you hear the phrase, you know, you got to execute. The game's not played on paper. We got to go ahead and execute and make it happen. So I understand that is the usual thing you hear when a question like the one I'm about to ask you hits. But I just remember when you got traded to the Niners, I thought to myself, oh God, like, for the rest of the league, don't let that really happen. Like, this would be bad for the rest of the league because of the system and the rest of the players around it and you going there. I know you have to execute, but it feels like a perfect fit. And I'm wondering your perspective of having been there for just a few games and now having a full season ahead of you of many there. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely excited. You know, like you said, it's a great fit for me. It's a great fit for really any skill player. It's a great fit for O-linemen too. I mean, the scheme is so fun. It's sustainable. It's worked forever. And, you know, I am going to say you still have to execute it, but you know, it's a lot of fun being able to be surrounded by, you know, guys like George Kittle and Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, Juwan Jennings. You know, there's a great backfield. Elijah Mitchell, who's a great back. Jordan Mason, tight ends, but all these guys who, you know, Kyle Juszczyk, who's, you know, one of the best guys I've been around. All these guys, man, and then add that defense on top of it, and then add the staff that we have. It's exciting, you know. It really is exciting, and I feel like as a football nerd and as a fan of the game, I have fun going into work every day, just learning so much. And it is nice being able to have an off season under my belt where I can get, you know, comfortable with the details and the things beyond the X's and O's that, you know, I'm not learning game plan to game plan. So I'm definitely excited to be here and be surrounded by all these guys.
Yeah, and obviously Sam Darnold, who you played with in Carolina, is there now. Lance coming back from an injury. We saw what Purdy was able to do, and he's coming back as well. So I'll ask you the same question I've asked folks like Kittle and everyone else who's come here is, how do you go about your business knowing that there's kind of an evaluation at the quarterback spot and you liking all of them? Clearly, you know, like, how do you go about your business on that front, Christian?
You just go about your business. You know, for me, I no matter who the quarterback is, I have to get open. You know, I'm not thinking about the quarterback. I'm thinking about getting open, hitting the right holes, doing my job. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't matter. I think everybody has that mentality. It's do your job, do it at the highest level. I'm not a quarterback evaluator. People ask me all the time, how's the quarterback? I'm like, dude, I have no idea. I don't know mechanics. I have, you know, no idea how to evaluate quarterbacks. But what I do know is all three of them are amazing. All three of them are great options. You know, I talk about Brock and what he did last year, and not just how he played, but the way he carried himself. And he's built to be quarterback in this league. You talk about Trey. I didn't get to play with Trey last year, but from what I've seen so far, Trey's been great. You know, he's been awesome. And obviously I've played with Sam, and I know what Sam can do. And seeing all the things that he's been doing this OTAs too, I think – for us, it's nice knowing that we have three great options. And, you know, like I said, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. And frankly, my job is just to be as ready to go as I can for whoever it is. But I just know that, you know, we're in good hands no matter what. And I pray to God I don't have to play quarterback again.
But you've got a hell of a passer rating, though, Christian. Heck of a passer rating on that front.
Well, you know? I mean, I had a throw in the Philly game. It was one of the worst. Might have been one of the worst plays in my career. I told myself if George wasn't open, I'm going to throw this ball as far as I possibly can.
Yes.
I can't run it. And, I threw it about 50-something yards to absolutely nobody. But that's all right.
Hey, you know, it's a team game, clearly. Christian McCaffrey here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple more football questions, then we'll hit the Logan Project. When I've had many offensive players from the 49ers on over the last few years, they have a story where Kyle Shanahan says, this play is going to go for a touchdown throughout the week. We'll run it at a certain time. This play is going for six. Have you had an experience like that with Kyle yet, Christian?
Where he comes up with a play
and he's like, we execute it, this is going big. And then it does. You got one of them?
Yeah, I think – One of the best things as a player is when you know that your coach has confidence. And I think when you sit in those meetings and you really understand the scheme, not just your job, but you start to find out that there's a purpose behind every play. And when you know that purpose and you're able to understand what the scheme's trying to do and how it's supposed to set up other things, it makes it so much fun playing football because you know what Kyle's thinking, and Kyle, you know, is trying to get us to know what he's thinking because, like I said, the scheme's worked. You know, it's worked for a really long time. You know, I think it's the most sustainable scheme that there is. And so it's up to the players to execute it because, in my opinion, when he does say, yeah, this is going to be a big play, I think everybody perks up because they know that it could be real.
And then, you know, you're 26, Christian, not telling any tales out of school. The NFL writ large appears to think of a shelf life for running backs being age 30. You know, and Austin Eckler approaching that right now. He's a premier touchdown maker in this league, as you know. He had to twist some arms to get even some incentives out of the Chargers prior to the summer. How do you view the running back position and how the league views that position, Christian?
Oh, you know, no one's asked me this question yet, but I do have opinions on it. You know, I think when you look in history and you look at what the running back position has meant to football, they touch the ball more than anybody. And I look at guys like Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders and some of the best to ever do it, man. And these guys played; they didn't just play a long time, but they played well for a long time. And you know, I look at Derrick Henry as another example. Derrick Henry's older than I am. Guy's done nothing but produce. I look at what, you know, Saquon Barkley brings to the Giants. I look at what Josh Jacobs brings to the Raiders and Austin Eckler. All these backs, I mean, I could name Dalvin Cook, all these backs around the league who have done, you know, so many amazing things for their team. They've been clutch. They carry the ball. They catch the ball out of the backfield. They provide, you know, multiple threats. They have to, you know, they create mismatches. They make defensive coordinators think. And I think there's a lot of value to that. And somewhere along the line, you know, the running back position has been undervalued, in my opinion, for what they're asked to do. And I think there's a lot of guys that are afraid to speak up about that, for multiple reasons. But, you know, I don't know when the value of a yard got diminished. And, you know, I'm for everybody getting paid. I love when guys, you know, earn money and are able to feed their families and have, you know, life-changing, generational-changing money. It's such a special thing because we all work really hard, and it's fun, man. It's a blessing. It really is. And so when I look at what, you know, receivers make and slot receivers make around the league, and then you look at what running backs make, you know, we're at the bottom of the list. And you know, you got backs who had 2,000-yard seasons. You've had backs who've had 750 to 800 yards receiving. And, you know, a lot of people use the injury argument, but, and you know, I don't know if that's necessarily valid when you look at some of the receivers who have been hurt, who still get big contracts. And so, I understand we touch the ball the most, but in my opinion, I think we create a lot of value in doing so as well. So there's a lot of arguments multiple ways, but I definitely think somewhere along the line, the franchise tag and what the market did to the running back position, I think they're definitely undervalued. And I think if you ask the running backs around the league, they would probably say the same thing.
Christian McCaffrey here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tell me about Logan Hale, who he was, unfortunately, why we're talking about him in the past tense, and the Logan Project, please, Christian.
Yeah, first off, thanks for letting me talk about this, because this is, you know, something special to me and near and dear to my heart. But Logan Hale was a 12-year-old boy who unfortunately passed away from cancer. And he was a big fan of mine, and I found out through somebody in the NFL whose nephew went to school with him. And I signed a few items for him while he was in the hospital, and I was pretty touched by his story. And I found out that he had passed away, and he was buried in my jersey. That really hit me. And in his obituary, he had come up with the amazing idea that he wanted to create his own charity that provided Xboxes and gaming systems for kids across the country, across the world, so that they could connect with their friends who are at school. That was one of his favorite things to do, was, you know, play video games with his buddies at school while he's, you know, undergoing treatment and undergoing things that no kid deserves to go through. And so, you know, I thought, man, this is a 12-year-old kid who has, you know, he was a football player. He played all different sports. He was into the arts. He was such a versatile young kid, an impressive 12-year-old boy for being not even a teenager. And here he is undergoing one of the worst things a kid can go through, and thinking of other people and thinking of how he can make other people's lives better. And so I took it upon myself. I'm like, this is the best idea ever from a 12-year-old boy. And now I want to make his name live on forever. I really do. And I think, you know, when you hear stories like that, and when you're touched by stories like that, I think it's our obligation to do just that. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to provide Xboxes and gaming systems and into hospitals for children so that they can connect with their friends. And, you know, even, their, you know, family time, right? Like, you can't go into a hospital room all the time. There's limited hours where you can do that. And so there's a lot of alone time for these kids. And what a great thing to do, to be able to connect them with their buddies, and not just their buddies, but NFL players and some of their favorite players, just to give them an hour of, you know, a break from the things that they have to go through. So
normalcy, we have normalcy and connectivity and community and love and,
right,
and maybe take their minds off of the awfulness that's in front of them, and maybe give them hope about, hey, I can't wait to do this when I get out in person with my friend. I mean, it's beautiful on so many levels, Christian. Beautiful. I can't applaud you enough.
We're so excited about it. We've had so many amazing people help out. There's people with the Xbox team, the Microsoft team, who have been great. People all over the Silicon Valley area who have been so generous with their time and money. And so on June 3rd, we're having a massive Madden tournament on Twitch. There's going to be eight players, some of your favorite NFL players. It'll be guys like myself and Greg Olson are going to be announcing it. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then we'll have Saquon's doing it. Von Miller's participating. Fred Warner will be there. Juju will be there. A lot of big-name guys. Austin Eckler's going to do it. Dalvin Cook. Some big-name guys who are going to be able, you know, to see who's the best Madden player. But not just that, but raise a lot of money for to make this happen, to make Logan's dream come true. And we couldn't be more excited about it. So that's June 3rd. It'll be streamed on Twitch, and all the details will be all over my social platforms and my foundation platform. And so anyone who's wondering where they can donate, I'll make sure on all my Instagram and Twitter and all that, I'll have a bunch of details, but we're excited about it.
As well you should. TheLoganBowl.org is the website. Tiltify.com/TheLoganBowl is how you can donate, and this, you'll see a donation from this show in short order, sir. This is a beautiful. Nothing's more awful, obviously, than a child being sick, and to make anything better, normal, and healthier is exactly the way to go. It's awesome, man. And again, that's June 3rd, and we'll talk about it all next week too. We'll do that here as well. Rich, Christian.
Rich, I appreciate it, man.
You got it. Before I let you go, since we're on the subject of living life to its fullest while we can, 1 week ago, Christian, I had Bert Kreischer on this program. He told a story that is, needless to say, gone viral. Anything he does is viral. But he told a story about you and him after you visited one of his shows and him offering you $10,000 to chase you down and get you. Is that true, Christian? Is that a true story?
That's a true story. What? Yeah, Bert's one of the funniest guys I've ever been around. Yeah. It was so cool to be able to go to his show and hang out with him a little bit after, but those guys can get after it, man. I'll tell you that much. And, yeah.
What happened from your perspective? What happened?
He asked, he said, do you think it, for $10,000 in this, I don't know, is 20 by 25 foot room, square foot room, do you think if you gave me, I don't know, if it was like 3 hours or something, like, do you think he could tackle me or like take me down?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's in a full sweat. Let's paint the picture. He's in a full sweat about, you know, 9 to 10 beers deep. And has his shirt off, of course, and is asking me this question. Mm-hmm. And for a moment, I was like, you know what? Maybe. With the confidence level you're at right now, you might be able to do that. Like, I think you'd take 10 steps and you'd be out of breath. There's no shot that you could even make it to 3 hours. You'd take a nap from hour and a half to two. But I told him, I was like, you know, there's Bert, there's guys that, you know, train all year round, get paid a lot of money to try to do that, and still can't do it. So I don't know if you got a chance, man. We laughed about that. That was a really fun night, man. He's an amazing guy. His new movie's out, The Machine.
That's it. So yeah.
Everybody should check that out. It was a great night with great people.
Yeah, he said he acted in a way that made you question what sort of party that had been turning into, is what he said.
I did wonder where this was going. He had a serious look in his eye. Like, I might have to lace up.
Yeah. Christian, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. I'd love to do this more often whenever you want, certainly when you're in Los Angeles. Congratulations on this idea and you making it happen. It is a beautiful thing, man. The Logan Bowl coming up on June 3rd in honor of Logan Hale to get Xbox to kids in hospitals as they come back from cancer, the Logan Project. Thanks for coming on and talking about it.
Rich, I appreciate it, man. We'll see you soon.
You got it. Thanks again. That's Christian McCaffrey at Christian McCaffrey on Instagram. Check it out on all of his social media pages right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Dynamite, man. Dynamite conversation.
Great.
That is a world-class individual and smart guy who is excellent at the football. Back here, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. John Harbaugh still to come here on this program. And a what's more likely, heading into the Memorial Day weekend. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
844-204 Rich being the number to dial. How about nobody? I guess nobody's ever asked Christian McCaffrey about the evaluation of the running back position in the NFL. I imagine the reason why is because A, he's 26, and B, he's been paid. Right? Correct? So if he's been paid and he's 26 and he's already on, is he on contract two or three? He's got to be one of the one of the
49ers give him an extension?
I don't know.
He's on number two.
But he's just 26, by the way. And I don't know. I would love nothing more than for the running back position to suddenly be respected at a veteran level. I would love nothing more than the longevity that we're seeing at the quarterback position that Brady and maybe hopefully Rodgers will show, that somehow, some way, running backs can start to get a third and fourth contract, that if there's a 33-year-old running back out there that's running like a deer. That would be, I know that's the look you're giving me. I mean, right, now is like this, said, is, yeah. That this is more than just a football philosophy. This is Mother Nature we're talking about.
I mean,
now.
Just
Adrian, father time.
Adrian so Peterson much. Is 38 and says he's not retired, but nobody's bringing him in for a workout.
He's an anomaly anyway, though.
But it's to me that, you know, it's the Eckler situation.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Well, I mean, he got incentives thrown in his contract, which I'm glad they did do that. Just, hey, you know, we're not going to give you a new deal. We're not going to give you a long-term deal, but we're going to give you a little something that if you do what you've done again, you'll make a little extra cash.
But what he
comparatively
so
in the world
special.
Of football. I know. And the issue if we only had like an hour with him, I mean, it was just a great conversation with Christian McCaffrey right there. And I wanted to get to his beautiful charitable event that he's having.
Yeah, that was incredible. Too.
Coming up in a couple of weekends. But I mean, I have this written down here somewhere in my vast notebook about these running backs. Here they are. I mean, that McCaffrey had 13 touchdowns last year. Derrick Henry, 14. Jamal Williams, 17. Eckler, 18. And Williams let the Lions let Williams walk. Mm-hmm. And Eckler needed to sort of stamp his feet and hold his breath to get $1.5 million to $2 million in incentives.
Yeah, 1.75.
And, you know, I have Isaiah Pacheco's numbers written down here because he's the seventh round draft choice that the Chiefs put into their lineup more regularly as the season progressed, along with Jerick McKinnon. And that was the running back tandem of Pacheco pounding you and McKinnon being a red zone out of the backfield threat. He had 830 rushing yards and they won the Super Bowl, and this kid won scored in that Super Bowl. And that's the point, is that you can draft somebody, one of these kids in the draft this year. Fifth, sixth, seventh round can do what Pacheco did, and you pay him what the Niners are paying Purdy. And you get that this year, then you draft another one, you draft another one, or you're like the Giants, where you got to pay somebody like Saquon Barkley all that money. But comparing, that's what McCaffrey's saying, all that money. Compare it to a wide receiver. Wide receiver's making all more than that. And the running backs touch the ball more than the wide receiver. The wide receiver's dependent on the quarterback finding him in a route. Defense can take that away. Running backs are standing right next to the quarterback.
Not a running back game.
But McCaffrey's showing you it is. Henry's showing you it is. Saquon's showing you it is. Saquon, the Giants do not do what they did. I understand that... that the Giants made the playoffs, won a playoff game, and their coach wins coach of the year. And Daniel Jones makes $40 million a year now. None of that happens without Saquon Barkley. None of it. None of it. Including Daniel Jones making $40 million. The reason why he didn't get franchise tagged, Daniel Jones, and he's now playing on a tag at much less than what he's making, is because Saquon was sitting out there and they couldn't lose him. So they signed the quarterback and franchise tag the running back. And that's why McCaffrey's like the way the free agency's done. And the franchise tag is devaluing the position. And then you got quarterbacks. Justin Fields ran for 1,100 yards last year. And you know who had as many touchdowns as McCaffrey last year? Jalen Hurts. Put it all together, and that's what's going on with running backs. Great conversation with Christian McCaffrey.